This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lin Chuang and Shaoning. Now, the ongoing concern amid fears of the Wuhan coronavirus is the impact on the travel and tourism sectors. Now, yesterday, we spoke about the government's tourism strategy in the face of these concerns. For now, the Ministry of Tourism, Arts and Culture is maintaining its arrival targets for Visit Malaysia 2020 at 30 million visitors and 100 billion ringgit in receipts.
Yeah, my question is, how feasible is this target given the already drop in Chinese visitors, right? We've already stopped issuing visas, and on top of that, the Chinese government doesn't allow its citizens to travel anymore on those tour packages.
Well, so, only in January lah. So, what? you see?
Hopefully, is it.
But we've already cancelled a couple of VMYs in the past because of the, I think the air disasters was one, the haze was another. So, let's see.
But then, you know, the China is our third biggest source of tourists and tourism revenue for Malaysia. I mean, last year, they spent $3.7 billion in Malaysia, a $700 million increase from 2018.
And that's nothing for them, right? Nothing.
That's true.
Now, under Visit Malaysia 2020, the target was for Chinese tourist arrivals was $3.5 million. So, the question is, can the tourism industry hold steady with these headwinds that we're seeing currently? So, for a perspective from industry players, joining us on the line is Yap Lip Seng, CEO of the Malaysian Association of Hotels. Thank you for joining us, Lip Seng. Now, we faced similar pressures on our tourism sector during the SARS outbreak in 2003. Does this experience provide some kind of a guideline on how the Wuhan coronavirus could play out?
Well, I think there's a yes and no to that question. Sometime back, I think it was in 2013 when SARS outbreak, we were not prepared. We didn't know what to do. Everyone was waiting for instructions on how to handle the situation. So the base of it was that sanitization. We had to clean up all the touch and contact points. And it was quite a scare at that point. But eventually everything subsided. But at that time when it subsided, we were not prepared to recover as well. That's something that's very different now. We are very prepared. We know what to do. And we are already planning our recovery plans. When this Wuhan virus is going to subside, we would be able to know where to capture our markets back, and we will be able to recover from that. But then again, this time around, it's quite different because we are dealing with the internet and the social media, which is viraling every other thing, whether it's true or not. And that is a problem to the industry.
And what kind of effects are already being felt by the tourism players so far?
Well, specifically for the hotels, we're looking at drop in occupancy in markets where it's highly dependent on the Chinese market. We're looking at 30 to 60% drop in occupancy. That's places like Kota Kinabalu, Langkawi. Then after that, we have Penang, Malacca, which are part of the tour programs of most of the Chinese tours. I think there's like 80% tours have been cancelled, and some of the operators have actually cancelled all their tours because of this. So we just need to brace for impact, and then more cancellations are expected to come, and we will just have to wait it out.
Yeah, Lip Seng, I can attest to the Penang situation because really Chinese New Year in Penang was very quiet. So in light of this, I mean, how feasible do you think the Malaysian government's targets are where VMY 2020 is concerned, 30 million visitors, 100 billion in receipts?
Well, if we look at the statistics from previous years, the Visit Malaysia year target of 30 million is highly dependent on the Chinese market. And quarter one of every year has always been a very strong market for the Chinese to come, especially during the Chinese New Year period. So we already lost 1.5 months. And cancellations of that we have received now are up to end of February. We foresee it will go into March as well. So if we are losing the first quarter, I don't think we're going to achieve the targets.
So in light of that, taking that into consideration, are you seeing any efforts on the ground taken to mitigate the fallout from the virus?
Well, yes, that's something that we are doing right now. We had a couple of discussions with other industry players. I mean, we are the hotels, and we spoke to the travel agents. We spoke to the airlines as well. We are thinking of how we can capitalize on the market, other markets other than the Chinese market. But something that we should have known for a long time. We cannot be depending on the Chinese market for a long time. So because China has actually blocked everyone from coming out, nobody is actually wanting to go in as well. So we are looking at these people who wants to go to China, but they can't. So we can offer them attractive packages that so that they can travel in Malaysia. This can appeal to both international and local markets. So we can actually capture something from there.
But Lip Sing, with this Wuhan virus, I mean, wouldn't it be the case where everybody just doesn't want to travel? They would rather just stay at home because there's so much uncertainty out there. So it doesn't really matter which market you're looking at.
Well, it does affect a certain group of people. But if we look at Malaysia at the moment, actually, we are quite safe. We are very safe, not quite safe. Whatever the government has done to prepare and to mitigate all the spread of the virus, it is much better than those days in SARS times. And we do not see so much of a public panic at this point compared to before. And the government now is even looking at targeting those who are spreading fake news about this Wuhan virus.
Yeah, listen, coronavirus aside, what can Malaysia do to bump up arrivals and time spent in the country and receipts? Because really, I mean, when you look at it from a historical perspective, the last 15 years, Malaysia has not attracted more than, you know, between 25 to 28 million visitors a year.
Yeah, that's true as well. One of the things that we are always losing out to our neighbouring countries is that because of budget. We are spending much less compared to Singapore, Thailand, Indonesia in terms of marketing and promotion. So it's a lot of money put in to bring tourists into the country. If we do not have that kind of budget, we will never be able to compete. That's the big problem.
Now, Lip Sing, we've also been hearing reports about tourist sites restricting entry to foreign visitors over fears of this coronavirus. Do you think local communities are still receptive to welcoming visitors, especially from China, or is xenophobia starting to set in?
We have seen such cases happening even within the Chinese tourists themselves. Those are already here. They are reacting to other participants of the tours where they are from Wuhan. And locals are reacting the same way. But at the hotels, what we are assuring the public and the guests is that whoever are already in the country, they are already screened. They have been screened and cleared of all virus or whatever contraction that they have. And they are okay to be here. We should feel safe with them as well.
And thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Lip Sing. That was Yap Lip Sing of the Malaysian Association of Hotels, talking to us about the impact of the coronavirus on the hotel industry. And I think it was an interesting point you raised, Chuang, because historically, the Malaysian government has never managed to meet its targets in tourism, much less now with the ambitious target that they are refusing to adjust in the face of a disease outbreak.
Yeah, I think what he didn't announce also, what he didn't talk about and flesh out, was basically the strategy. Because does Malaysia have the marketing? Does Malaysia has the marketing new to really do a good job in terms of messaging Malaysia on social media to a global market? Because sometimes when I see our slogans and our messaging and our advertising and our marketing campaigns, they're not very good, you know what I mean? And it's not very sexy. You know, how Singapore's portrayed around the world, how Hong Kong is portrayed around the world, how Vietnam or even Thailand is portrayed around the world is very different from how Malaysia is portrayed around the world. Do we have the right people in the right places to really message Malaysia properly? I don't think so.
I think the Visit Malaysia 2020 kind of started on a whimper, not on a bang, right? But perhaps maybe the campaigns are run overseas, which it should be because we're talking about attractive foreign tourists. But like you say, Chuang, there doesn't seem to be this cohesive campaign. It's pretty sporadic and, you know,
It's not slick. It's not slick. It's not glamorous. It's not sexy. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that Malaysia has. In fact, everything is in Malaysia.
Yeah.
The resources, the natural beauty, the shopping, the history, the heritage, everything, the food, everything is here.
Which is why tourism as a contributor to the GDP is so small. I mean, it's small versus Thailand.
Well, it's 10 to 15%.
Yeah, Thailand is 21%, you know, and we're talking about 1 million basically, in Thailand, 1 million jobs are tourism-related. But in Malaysia, that number is far smaller. Now, also, the other thing I want to highlight is that 30 million number that we talk about that supposedly come to Malaysia, or 28 million, do you know at least one-third of them are day trippers from Singapore? So they don't really count. They're just in for a few hours, do some shopping in Johor and drive back. So in terms of real spend, it's much lower than what foreigners spend in Thailand or Indonesia or even in Vietnam, which is the new tourist destination.
And I think what Lip Sing pointed out is true we're already losing out on in danger of completely losing out on the first quarter of the year in terms of tourist arrivals because nobody quite knows how long this outbreak is going to persist, how much worse it's going to get. They're starting to see hotel cancellations running into the end of February, and we have also started to see news reports coming out about Malaysia-Wuhan flights are being suspended. So there was only... I think only the Malaysia-Wuhan flights have been suspended for now, according to the transport minister. But this is probably just going to be another thing to fan the flames with, of fear and panic over this situation and how it's going to proceed.
Yeah, I mean, again, wait and see. I get the sense that coronavirus is actually quite situational. I mean, in the past few years, we've had Ebola, we've had the Middle East respiratory system, we've had SARS. They've all come and gone. We've all come back from it. It's not as if it's the end of the world. Do you know what I mean? But I think more lasting is what Malaysia does is with its marketing strategy. I think we really got to sort our messaging out and sort our the way we message the rest of the world about what Malaysia has to offer. I mean, geographically, we're fantastic.
We're right in the middle.
Yeah, everything is here.
Yeah, but somehow that message doesn't seem to go around the world. And it's not like one of those places where you want to visit. You know, it's not on your bucket list, unfortunately.
It does seem that the age of Malaysia, truly Asia, has passed indeed. Right now, though, we are about to head into the 8 o'clock news. And then after that, we'll be having the breakfast grill where Khoo Soo Chuang speaks with His Excellency Nicolas Lambsdorff, Germany's ambassador to Malaysia. So be sure to stay tuned for that after the 8 o'clock news bulletin, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9.